I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, we're going to talk today, and we're going to start with the COVID-19 update. And we've been really focusing on vaccines, and we still are.
Well, that's of course what everybody's asking about. I mean,
yeah,
that's the big question at this point, is everything about the vaccines.
So are vaccines safe and effective?
Well, that's what everybody's asking me at the office. And officially, yes, they say, of course, that there is no such thing as risk-free vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is comparing the infection to the vaccines. In those types of situations, the numbers that they're giving right now, the risk for getting the COVID-19 is greater than the risk of the vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, the Center of Disease Control, World Health Organization, is very satisfied with the vaccinations at this point.
Now, can you have someone that gets the vaccine have a reaction, and is that normal?
They do keep track of that. And as of April 16th of 2021, there were 86,080 reports of adverse reactions.
Mm.
So obviously, you know, there's a lot going on. The Center of Disease Control pretty well admits that only 10% of the reactions are actually reported. Mm. So at this point, you know, there are 86,080 reports of adverse reactions. And they do believe that's only 10% of the actual number. There was also 3,186 deaths that could be related to the vaccination. And again, you know, they're only thinking about possibly 10% actually being reported. So that's pretty significant numbers at this point.
Mm-hmm.
There were 6,282 hospitalizations related to the vaccinations. And, of course, they're again thinking that the numbers might be much higher. There were 12,374 urgent care visits related to the COVID-19 vaccination. There were 13,483 office visits that were related to negative reactions to the vaccinations. 531 people going into anaphylactic shock when they got the vaccination. There are 606 cases of Bell's palsy related to the vaccination at this point.
Mm.
There are 713 heart attacks that have been related to the vaccination. 115 miscarriages.
Mm.
4,499 severe allergic reactions. That was on top of the anaphylactic responses. And there were 420 cases of thrombocytopenia, a low platelet count. But then the low platelet count, which is very odd, will actually result in the blood clots occurring.
Mm.
So those are the official CDC numbers at this point on adverse reactions with the vaccinations.
And they're saying that's probably underreported.
According to the CDC, they only think that that's 10% of everything, because a lot of them aren't reported.
Mm-hmm. So what is VAERS?
Well, VAERS is the place where you go to report the adverse reactions.
Mm-hmm.
It's Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System that was set up by the government, CDC, along with the Human Health Services, to keep track of vaccines to make sure that the vaccines are safe and effective. So they accumulate data there, and they require physicians by law to report certain reactions, and then also they encourage physicians to report certain other types of reactions, and then also anyone can report a adverse reaction to vaccinations, and it is something that they look at and take very seriously, trying to keep track if the problems associated with the vaccines, if the risk actually starts to outweigh the benefit, then they look at actually pulling the vaccinations at that point. One of the things that as you get your shots, actually any vaccination, they're supposed to give you a sheet of all the reactions that you should be looking for. If you have any of those, one, you should report it to the doctor. The doctor by law is required to report that to theirs. And also you as an individual have the right to report those to the VAERS center. Mm-hmm. So Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System.
Okay.
And that's something that you can just type in. It's there with the CDC. And they give you a whole, you can either do it online or they can actually print out a sheet and you can send it in that way.
And that's where these numbers came from?
That's exactly where these numbers came from on the reporting system.
Okay. So who's now eligible to get the vaccine?
Anyone 16 and older. So one of the things is that the United States has the best rollout for the vaccination of any country in the world. There was that vaccine warp speed that was put together that was pretty much miraculous on how that was actually done. So the vaccines, we've gotten that out, and there's been a tremendous number of about 56% of the population should be getting it. They expect that about 70% of the population, adult population, will have the vaccine. And then the other 30% of the people who haven't gotten it are the ones who have said, I'm not getting it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're not quite sure, because of course they're talking about herd immunity. They were saying 70% actually reaches herd immunity, but now they're saying 80%, and they need an extra 10% to volunteer to get the vaccination. But again, it's all relative. You know, as they were looking at the numbers, and these are, of course, also CDC numbers, is that 26% of the population is completely immune to the virus anyway. 40% have gotten it and had absolutely no symptoms. There was no indication, not even a cough or anything, sniffle, that they had had that. Another 20% have mild to moderate symptoms, and then 14% of the population are the ones who are at risk. So, you know, we've got the 26% which are already immune. We've got 40% who probably have had it. So the best way to get the immunity and the longest lasting way is not the vaccination, but actually getting the virus. So, you know, a lot of people are arguing, well, you know, with that number of people who've gotten vaccinated, and then also with probably the people who are immune to it anyway, and the large number of people who've already gotten it, that we should probably have reached pretty good herd immunity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of going back and forth, but there's the feeling that everybody should get the vaccination, even though you may be completely immune to it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really, you know, a risk on that. Or you have had it and had absolutely no symptoms, or had it before. One of the things that's definitely true is what if you have the virus, you should not get the vaccine. That's something that many that they've said many, many times. So one thing I would always do before you get the vaccination is to get checked to make sure that you don't have the virus at that time, because those are the people who are winding up on this adverse reaction reporting list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's one thing that
COVID
I would actually...
COVID at the time they get the
vaccination, and that really can make a cytokine storm and be rather dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one thing to be very aware of, you know, to try to work, you know, to make sure. And then if you have had the virus, you know, there's debate on whether you should get the vaccination at that point, whether it really does anything for you or not.
Well, that's the question. Does getting the vaccine prevent someone from getting the virus?
Well, you know, that's something that's a controversy at this point. They're doing studies on it. That wasn't done in the original study, and they were saying that it doesn't, but one of the things that they've had about four or five studies that have come out that show that it definitely reduces the viral load if you get it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you know, you have 100% infection, it only shows up that you're getting 80% of the virus of normal. So there is some evidence that it does help to you know, keep you from getting a more severe case, that's for sure.
Will there be an annual vaccine for this virus?
At this point, they're saying yes.
Mm, like because, the flu shot?
Like the flu shot. So, you know, but we'll see how that all goes. At this point, the evidence says that, yeah, they're going to be doing an annual vaccination.
And real quickly, what about the variants?
The variants, well, that's the big million-dollar question. Mm-hmm. The most scary one out there is the Brazilian one. which has been up in British Columbia, and as we talked about before, they completely shut down British Columbia. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's one of the things that we need to be aware of. We don't completely know how the vaccinations are going to work on them.
Okay. You can win a free 60-minute massage in our relaxing spa at Holistic Integration. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology. Yeah, we're going to talk about this rapid release technology, or RRT. It's our secret weapon, like to say. It's non-surgical, drug-free treatment option.
Sure.
It's FDA-registered high-speed vibration device. It was developed in 2010.
Actually by a chiropractor.
It's a pioneered high-speed vibration therapy. It's focused on the relief of soft tissue problems affecting nerves, muscles, tendons, and ligaments.
There's a lot of different ways that you can get adhesions and scar tissue and different things released. A lot of it can actually be very painful to achieve. And it's one of the things that is not well treated at all in the disease care model up until this point. What they were able to do is come up with a concept of a vibrational instead of a mechanical. It's vibrating at a frequency that they found breaks up tissue that is abnormal. So it actually starts to change it, melt it away. When it does that, then allows the body to go in there and lay down normal tissue that is fully functioning. The good illustration on that is an opera singer who can sing, and you've got that fine crystal starts to vibrate. And it vibrates at a higher frequency, even to the point where it can even crack. What you're doing with this rapid release is you're creating a vibration, and that doesn't harm normal tissue. As a matter of fact, it actually heals it, gets more circulation, and makes it better functioning. But abnormal tissue, it actually breaks up, and then it helps the body to dissipate it.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through Rapid Release's high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of rapid release therapy by scheduling an appointment at Holistic Integration. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid release banner and enter code PRATHER, P-R-A-T-H-E-R, for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Well, today we're going to talk about the safety of chiropractic. And I don't know how often, I was just down in Florida. My dad's at a retirement village, and we were in the jacuzzi with another gentleman. And he was helped greatly by chiropractic, but told me how, you know, he was questioning it, wasn't sure it was safe prior to, you know, going, and was skeptical. And I asked him why. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know why. So I went on to tell him, and we're going to be talking about that, why there is this perception, especially among the baby boomer generation or the older generation.
Right.
Not so much this younger generation.
Sure.
So, Dr. Prather, why is there a perception of chiropractic being unsafe?
It was promoted.
What was promoted?
That chiropractic was an unsafe, unscientific quackery. Mm-hmm. And we had a lawsuit against the AMA because it was basically coming from the American Medical Association. And what we did is we had someone within the AMA bring us all the documents and papers of the conspiracy that the American Medical Association had against chiropractic.
Wow.
And so there was it was called the Wilk case, and it was brought before federal judges and went all the way to the Supreme Court, where it was ruled that, yes, the American Medical Association sought to restrict free trade and to disparage the chiropractic. They were involved in going around and having lectures for doctors, promoting that. They also would pay newspapers or TV programs if they made a negative comment about chiropractic, and they would punish them. They would cut off all advertising and, you know, funds to any type of radio or TV or newspaper that had anything that was positive to say about chiropractic.
Wow. And when was this?
This was actually started in the 1950s. And then went all the way up to, actually up to the 1980s.
Mm-hmm. And this went all the way, you said, to the Supreme Court.
Supreme Court.
And the chiropractors won, and it was proven
that they were...
That the AMA.
The AMA had a concerted effort to destroy and to malign the chiropractic. And they had the pharmaceutical companies behind them and all their money. And they spent millions and millions and millions of dollars to promote that. So, matter of fact, there's still some residuals along those lines. So there's been a perception that has been created. Matter of fact, it was revealed that the AMA did six studies on chiropractic to prove that it was harmful and was not effective. All six studies showed that it was very effective and had better results than any of their procedures. So they didn't publish them.
Of course not.
And even then, within research, if you were a researcher and you did research on chiropractic that was positive, they would blackball you. So they wouldn't allow any research. They wouldn't allow any universities to study it. So not only were they working on the publicity, but they were also squelching any type of research on chiropractic, too.
And I don't think people realize that, you
sure.
know. As I was down in Florida sitting in the jacuzzi talking to this man that was greatly helped by chiropractic, he could hardly get out of bed.
Right.
And within two adjustments, you know, he was a new man.
Right.
He goes, I'm a believer.
Sure.
You know, but why did he have that perception? And as I told him, he had no idea.
Right.
And this is well documented. You said it's
a
Wilt case.
Yeah, it's been proven. As I said, it went all the way to the Supreme Court. It was overwhelming evidence. The reason that the medical association said that they did that was to protect the public. However, after going over that they had done six studies showing that it was far more effective than surgery or any other means that they were using, that kind of lost its validity, shall we say. In other words, you guys have proven that it was more effective, so therefore you weren't trying to protect the public. You were trying to protect your own financial gain. And it was very obvious along those lines that they hadn't even thought about the public at all in this particular thing.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise.
Very, very interesting. So how safe is chiropractic?
Chiropractors, the people who keep the best statistics are the insurance people. Malpractice insurance is kind of a measurement of how much you pay, how dangerous you are.
Right.
Chiropractors pay the lowest malpractice premiums of any healthcare provider in the United States.
Yeah, you're below nurse practitioners.
We're way below nurse practitioners. We're even below nurses. Matter of fact, our medical assistants have a higher premium than
really?
I do.
Really?
Yes. So we are literally the lowest malpractice costs of any type of anybody, which shows the safety of chiropractic. Of course, it has a double-edged sword, because what they do is they, insurance companies, when they're coming up with reimbursement rates, how dangerous the procedure is and how likely you are to hurt them determines the amount of reimbursement. So if you have a higher chance of injuring someone or killing someone, then you're paid more. If you have no risk that's involved with it, they don't pay as well. So that's why the reimbursement rate has been dropped in insurance companies. That's why we don't accept it. Insurance except for Medicare.
For chiropractic, yeah.
Because they don't pay anything for it. Because it's not considered dangerous. So, you know, we need to talk to the insurance companies. Effective, no risk, all those types of things.
Should get reimbursed at a higher rate.
It should get reimbursed at a higher rate, not a lower rate. But, you know, we have a lot of things that are really backwards,
yes,
especially within the healthcare in our country.
Right. So are there any contraindications to chiropractic care?
Well, there are contraindications to different procedures within chiropractic care. One of the things that has been a perception, I was talking to a medical doctor, and I was talking about, you know, pointed that out, and he said, well, you can't sit there and twist somebody's neck who's just had surgery or something like that. And I said, oh, absolutely not. But, you know, I went ahead and explained that there are an awful lot of techniques within chiropractic.
Mm-hmm.
And he had no idea. In other words, he thought he knew what chiropractic was. And this is an orthopedic doctor
mm-hmm.
who thought he knew what was involved with chiropractic and yet had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I've talked to different doctors. I had one orthopedic surgeon tell his patient, you know, whatever you do, don't go to a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped in here, you know, just for some other things. And I was talking about, you know, how helpful that would be. And he says, well, can you talk to my orthopedic surgeon? So I got on the phone with him and I, you know, he was like, oh, no, you can't be twisting this guy's neck. And I said, well, I don't twist people's neck. He said, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. And so I explained how we would be doing the adjustments, and he says, well, I guess I don't really know that much about it, but, you know, I don't want to endorse something I'm not really familiar with. So oftentimes a doctor is saying, don't do this because I don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lack of understanding, and that's one of the things that we're really trying to, within our practice, trying to bridge that gap and educate. We have a medical director, and he's amazed by what we can do.
Right.
And, you know, he's like, wow, this is great. And, mm-hmm. you know, just the safety and the gentleness, they're really surprised about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many types of chiropractic adjustment techniques are there?
Well, within the American Chiropractic Association, they have a listing of all the different systems of chiropractic. And they have a listing of 40 different types.
Mm.
Now, we've done our had some friends and myself, other chiropractors, go around and look at different types of chiropractic. And we actually came up with about 400
mm-hmm.
different systems of adjusting. So, you know, there's a tremendous amount of variety on that. And there's different systems of adjusting techniques that are appropriate for almost every occasion. So if you're a listener out there and you're not, you know, you're thinking about chiropractic but have some ideas on that, you can call around and find different types of techniques, different types of systems of adjusting, and finding that system that agrees with you is a very, very smart idea.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a tremendous number of different ways of approaching chiropractic.
Now, what techniques do you do here?
Well, we do a variety of techniques. We have one of the specialties that we have is an upper cervical technique, which is the area of the, I would say, is the most delicate area to work with.
Mm-hmm.
When I got into chiropractic, I said, what is the most important adjustment to make? And every major chiropractor that I talked to said the atlas. The atlas is the most critical. It's right underneath the occiput. It controls the lower brainstem and has the greatest effect on the body.
So the atlas is the first vertebrae.
Atlas is the first vertebrae. Atlas, like atlas holding up the world.
Mm-hmm.
Atlas holds up the head. It's
and
quite
the head
amazing.
Can be pretty heavy.
Yeah, some more than others. But the atlas is a very small bone. Matter of fact, if you have a dried atlas, place it on your hand, you can blow it off your hand.
Mm.
But it has a huge effect on the system. So the atlas was the most important. I said, well, what's the most difficult to adjust? And they said the atlas. Matter of fact, some major techniques, they just stay away from it. So trying to figure out how to do that, and I said, you know, who's the best out there? And everyone said Dr. Roy Sweat, who has invented what's called the atlas orthogonal system of adjusting. And what it is, it's a very precise, very gentle type of technique where we place the atlas back. It's a mathematical. We do use an instrument. I always have people put their finger underneath the instrument to feel like what it's going to feel like before they have it done.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, I didn't feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, yes, that's what I wanted to show you, mm-hmm. is that you wouldn't feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
So when I've shown it to medical doctors who were skeptical about me adjusting someone's neck, showed them what is involved with that, they go, oh, this isn't going to cause any problem.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a matter of perception, you know, understanding and knowledge.
Right.
And the Atlas orthogonal technique is where we really get the amazing results. My scribe Jody is in there with us, and she says, "I love it when a first adjustment comes in, and you're going to do the Atlas, because of their reaction, because it seems so little, but it has such a huge effect on the system."
Yeah.
And I mean, we've had people cry afterwards because of the relief that they got.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very, very effective type of technique, something that we've spent a lot of time on. It usually requires a 3 years postgraduate work to be able to do that.
You're the only board-certified Atlas orthogonist here in the state of Indiana.
Correct. Right. And so the upper cervical is a big area that we work with. The other thing that we do is we do some drop techniques where we have a table that drops with the adjustment. Mm-hmm. So there's less force that's involved with that. We also do reflex adjusting, where we contact the ligaments and hold it. It's a very gentle type of technique. And then we also use an activator, which is a handheld instrument, where we can click on different points and get the skeletal structure to move with that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the major ones that we use.
Yeah, and all gentle, non-force
correct
adjustments. Yes. Okay, when we come back, more on the safety of chiropractic.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
I'm wearing new contacts. I just had my prescription changed after 6 years. You ever wait that long? Then you get new lenses, you're like, man, I could have been seeing things. How can instantly improve vision not be at the top of your to-do list? I'll see tomorrow. I don't have time. I don't have time to see clearly. No, I don't. No, I can't do that. You see what's on my desk?
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration. When people get adjusted, do they wind up holding their adjustment?
That is one of the things that we're very proud of. We do get things very stabilized. The Atlas is one of the things that people talk about. I had one person actually hold their adjustment 20 years. Kept on seeing us for a lot of different types of problems, but the original Atlas thing that brought them in, that problem along those lines, were actually taken care of.
Mm.
And after 20 years, they came in and said, you know, I think my Atlas is out again.
Yeah, and we focus on that Atlas because you have to have that aligned, right?
Everything else starts to work better.
And you adjust the TMJ, extremities,
elbows,
toes. The feet have a lot of bones in there.
Yeah, right? Knees, pelvis.
Well, you even adjust the eustachian tubes.
Which has a big effect on tinnitus. As you're working with the structure of the body, you can always improve some structural part. So that's what you're really looking for.
Schedule your appointment at Holistic Integration, 317-848-8048. Holistic Integration, restoring hope.
Are you experiencing muscle pain or tightness anywhere on your body? Try the Rapid Release Therapy Pro 2. The Pro 2 is a targeted high-speed vibration therapy device used by medical professionals to quickly relieve a wide variety of aches and pains on their patients, as well as themselves, their friends, and their families. Safe, effective, and easy to use, this professional quality medical device uses a patent treatment head with 5 built-in heads, giving you the versatility to treat small bony surfaces such as fingers, wrists, and ankles. Powerful enough to quickly relax the tightest hips on professional athletes and everything in between. Unlike the low-speed percussive devices, rapid release therapy delivers for sensitive areas like joints, neck, and ankles safely and comfortably, and provides the raw power your larger muscle groups need. Go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the Rapid Release banner and enter code PRATHER for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Well, today we're talking about the safety of chiropractic, and very interesting
If you are listening and you are just coming in on segment two, segment one, we talked why there is that perception. And you can look up the Wilkes case. It went all the way to the Supreme Court that the American Medical Association
inspired to restrain trade and to prevent people from going to chiropractors.
Yeah. I mean, they accomplished that even though they lost. Correct. You know, because there has been...
They had 30 years of doing it.
Right. 30 years. Wow. But that is changing. We see that changing.
Certainly.
Especially around the younger generation.
Well, even as I talk to different orthopedic groups, and most of them have a chiropractor now on staff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's something that is becoming a part of the mainstream healthcare. And one of the things that has been encouraged with all the new laws within healthcare is that there is an integration that takes place.
Right. And we see that in our office, the importance. We've had a physical therapist on staff with the chiropractic, occupational therapy, massage.
Sure.
Integrating that is...
MD, nurse practitioners, just putting the whole thing together. And then also communicating with the other specialties.
Right. So we talked about, just before we went to break, what techniques you do here. What is the most common technique used in the in chiropractic offices?
About 80% of chiropractors do something called diversified. Mm-hmm. And so that is the most common perception of what chiropractic is. And those are the more of the what we call mobilization techniques, where you take and then you turn the head or turn the lumbars until you get more of a popping. And that's also the ones where you get some audibles, where you hear the pop and snap. You know, everybody says, oh, you're going to pop and snap me?
Right.
Well, there's only one technique that really does that out of the 40 that's recognized by the ACA, and that's the diversified. So, you know, it's just one technique out of many. Mm-hmm. We don't, in our practice, use the diversified technique here. It is considered safe and effective. That's what about 80% of all chiropractors use. We don't use it. We try to get a little bit more specific, have a little bit different philosophy. And we find they've also did a study and about 15% of the population really like to hear a pop or a snap and expect that to be part of their adjustment, but about 85% don't like that. Mm-hmm. So we like to appeal to the 85% instead of the 15%. Mm-hmm. So we reassure people that they won't hear a pop or snap when they're getting adjusted, just relief. Mm-hmm. And there's no mobilization. And there are some contraindications with the mobilization techniques. Mm-hmm. With our techniques, there aren't.
Okay, good. Well, let's talk about what types of conditions would require special chiropractic techniques.
Anything of any surgical nature. So if they've had prior surgeries in an area, you have to modify things. If there are any type of arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, you need to take those in consideration. There can be osteoporosis is something that you need to take in consideration. If there's any vascular disease, that needs to be considered too. Any prior surgeries, any type of artificial joints need to be taken in. Also, any spondylolisthesis where there's a pars fracture that has occurred. There are specialized techniques for each of those, or if there's a disc that's herniated.
Okay, well, let's talk about severe osteoporosis. Can that be treated with chiropractic care?
Yes, I'm thinking of one patient who, it's a lady who's just reached about 60 who has severe osteoporosis, which we're also treating her for and getting some very good results, but had a tremendous amount of back pain and had had three fractures in her back where the osteoporosis...
She's young.
Yes, for that. So it was an unusual type of case. She said, well, my doctor said, you know, I can't get chiropractic because of the osteoporosis and fractures. And I said, well, if I was going to be using a diversified technique or a force technique, that would be true. But what we are going to use on you is a non-force technique. Mm-hmm. So she asked what that was, and I reviewed that with her, actually demonstrated it to her, and she says, oh, you know, that's about the gentlest thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And it completely relieved her pain in her back. So we've been able to do that, and the adjustments that we were doing has helped out the osteoporosis and relieved the pain, along with the nutritional supplements that we've been giving, where the fractures have healed and she's reversing the osteoporosis. So
wonderful.
Even with severe osteoporosis, where, you know, people are having spontaneous fractures, we've been able to do specific type of chiropractic techniques, which are non-force, reflex type of adjustments, and been able to get a tremendous amount of relief for that patient.
What about post-surgical, like low back surgeries?
Sure.
Can that be helped through chiropractic care?
Yes. We call that pelvic back surgery syndrome. I had a gentleman who came in, had had three surgeries for disc in his back, had actually tried two chiropractors, but they were using diversified, and for that particular case, you shouldn't do that type of technique.
After surgery.
After surgery. So he came in with a lot of pain, wasn't functioning, was getting the foot drop, and his surgeon said, you got to find something else because I'm not willing to do surgery on you again.
Right, not a fourth surgery.
Yeah, no, that it's not going to work. You're getting worse each time, and I'm afraid, you know, that. So he didn't really have too many options. He had had someone tell him about me and came in extremely scared. And
you're so scary.
And he says, you know, he was a big guy. He's like 6'8 and 280
the patient.
Pounds. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You were scared of him.
And so I reassured him that, you know, everything would be okay and described the technique and showed him. And so we did the reflex technique on him. And he got, you know, one, he almost fell asleep while I was doing it. Then he got up and says, oh my gosh, my pain is 90% gone.
Wow.
And he said, you know, that was just very gentle. Couldn't believe how well that worked. And so, you know, even in a post-surgical where he'd had some laminectomies, some disc surgeries, and it had completely failed for him, we were still able to get the results. We've been able to have people, you know, I think of another gentleman who came in, 75, again, multiple surgeries, where he had had four already.
Wow.
And was having tremendous amount of pain, was also on opiates for the pain, and they were trying to work him off, and it wasn't working. So we were able to do our treatments, do the chiropractic adjustment where he could feel some immediate results. Acupuncture was also utilized for him. And again, we were able to get him to the point where he wasn't experiencing pain and was just very, very relieved on that.
Well, you know what I would say to these gentlemen?
Yeah.
You know, why not try the chiropractic care before the surgery?
That's
right.
That's usually the best way. Oftentimes they had, but it wasn't the proper technique for them. So if you aren't getting the results with the chiropractic that you're getting, and different people respond to different techniques better.
Right.
And
you realize there's 40 different techniques.
There's 40 probably. Different techniques. If one's not working, there's a tremendous amount of variety. And ask your chiropractor, say, hey, I would like to try something else. See if they can refer you to another practitioner who has a different technique. Or call around and see what different techniques are offered. Tell them what didn't work for you. And then see if something else would work. And we've had people with every types of surgery. We've had people who've had, you know, screws and braces put in, you know, laminectomies, all sorts of surgeries along those lines. And we are able to find a technique that works well for them, that's very safe. And the nice thing about the chiropractic is you walk out feeling better.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And that's
we see that all the time.
Yeah, you should feel better after an adjustment.
Not worse.
Not worse.
Well, let's talk about neck surgeries. Can chiropractic care help with neck surgeries?
Yes. Again, we have the specific atlas orthogonal technique, which has excellent results, a very safe type of technique to use post-neck surgeries, you know, if they're still having problems. And we get a tremendous number of those because we have them referred in by other chiropractors, neurologists, orthopedics. Because of that atlas orthogonal technique, we can go on ahead and work on them and not have any problems and get some excellent results, even though that they might have had several neck surgeries.
Right. Well, good. So let's, when we come back, let's talk more on the safety of chiropractic.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration. What role does structure function care play in treating infertility?
What we're looking at with the structure function care is basically there are things that are out of balance and through the system. There are toxins, there are infections, there are other different types of things that could be going on through the system that is preventing the body from becoming pregnant or even carrying a pregnancy to term. Mm-hmm. Determining what those are, figuring out the proper course, is where we really shine through and just getting people healthy.
So what would you, someone coming in, you know, with infertility, what would they experience? What diagnostics would you recommend?
Very thorough blood test. And mm-hmm. we'd be looking at all the different basic functions of the body. We need to know, are there toxicities? Are there infections that are going on? Are there other different types of issues? Toxins. So blood work would be very, very important. We would also need to do a hair analysis. The reason that we're looking at that is there are certain types of heavy metals that are very well known to cause infertility. Lead would be a very direct one, and a hair analysis is an excellent way to pick that up. We would also want to do a see what's going on in the gut. Mm-hmm. So it has a lot to do with immune system. Matter of fact, we usually find the key to endometriosis, which is a big reason why women can't get pregnant, mm-hmm. Coming from the gut. Mm-hmm. So as we fix the gut, the endometriosis goes away. So that's an important type of way, just really checking the body from head to toe. We need to know what the hormones are doing, you know, just every single different aspect on that. Also, we need to determine the fat percentage mm-hmm. of the body.
Does that affect infertility?
It does. You can actually be too low on your fat percentage or too high. Mm-hmm. The happy rate for best fertility is a body fat percentage of between 20 and 25% for a female. Mm-hmm. And that's where women are the most fertile. You know, the fat percentage is also a very important part because it changes the pH of the body. It mm-hmm. changes the endocrine system. The farther away from that number that you get, the less likely that you would actually be able to get pregnant. Fat will actually produce hormones, and they aren't the good kind of hormones. A male who has a too high of a fat percentage, their fertility rate actually drops.
Schedule your appointment at Holistic Integration, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.
Don't stop.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, today we're talking about the safety of chiropractic. And Dr. Prather, it's been very interesting. But I want to go back. Can chiropractic adjustment cause a stroke?
Very good question. That's one of the things that I've heard from several doctors. There's a perception that you can go ahead and do the low back, but leave the neck alone so you wouldn't cause a stroke. Mm-hmm. And they cited a study where there were, in a year, 12 strokes attributed to chiropractic adjustments. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting part about that was that as I looked up those 12, what they called chiropractic adjustments, none of those were done by a chiropractor.
Oh, really? Huh?
In the year.
Uh-huh.
So the most common person who had done what they called a chiropractic adjustment was an athletic trainer mm-hmm. who had done a manipulation, a gross manipulation on the patient and had caused it. There was an MD who had taken a weekend course and had tried it and caused a stroke. Mm-hmm. And then the others were caused by physical therapists and other different people. But mm-hmm. of the 12, chiropractic adjustments that had caused strokes that he was quoting, none of those chiropractic adjustments had been done by a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, it would be like saying that, you know, the patient died from a surgical procedure, but none of the people who did it were doctors.
Or surgeons.
Or yeah. Surgeons.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things is if you are doing a diversified technique on the neck, you do need to check for the possibility of is the patient at a risk for stroke?
Mm-hmm.
So there are different types of, you know, but the techniques that we use in our office, the Atlas Orthogonal for the cervical spine,
mm-hmm.
does not cause strokes. You mm-hmm. don't have any stretching of the arteries. You don't have any type of possibility along those lines. So techniques that we use that there is no possibility for strokes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are doing a diversified technique, all chiropractors are taught to do a screening first to make sure that you aren't at risk. And we have a very high success on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's extremely rare. There's probably been 3 stroke conditions that have occurred
mm-hmm.
from chiropractic adjustments, which should have been screened a little bit better. But the most common way to develop a stroke or a dissection of an artery is getting your hair washed.
Oh, because the neck is in a
an extended position.
Interesting.
And
yeah.
So hairdressers, going to your hairdresser and getting your hair washed
mm-hmm.
is the highest risk.
Well, they're making the bowls different now so that you're not going into that so much
as
neck extension.
That neck extension. So that's really far more risky
uh-huh.
than anything else. There was a famous case of a woman who had a dissection of her artery, but she was a model, and they had put her into an odd position for the shoot for about an hour and a half, and that's where she had developed the dissection of the artery.
Wow.
Is okay. what they were able to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had a lot of pain afterwards, had gone to a chiropractor after that.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't the chiropractic that was involved with that was completely positioning from her modeling.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about spondylolisthesis. Can that benefit chiropractic care?
Yeah, a spondylolisthesis is a pars fracture, usually in the lower lumbar.
Mm-hmm.
It's where that occurs. And
pars is part of the vertebrae.
Right, right. And so there's a fracture. It happens quite a bit. About 15% of males, about 7% of females have that in the low back. Causes a lot of back pains. Surgery really doesn't work very well for that. But there is a specialized technique for that. You don't want to do a diversified roll on those two cases because it does make it feel worse. But what we do is a specialized drop technique. I had a patient who was a physician assistant in an orthopedic practice,
mm-hmm.
and she had a pars fracture of the L5 with an anteriority of the L5 vertebrae had slipped forward. And she had actually come in for nutritional work, but I convinced her to also get checked out the chiropractic. And she was like, okay, I'm doing this, but you know, there's no way you can affect that.
Mm-hmm.
So I explained the technique, got her in position, did the adjustment, and one, we saw instantaneous relief of the neurological and the pain decreased by 80%.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to do post x-rays later showing her the shift where we put it back into place,
mm-hmm.
and absolutely amazed on the changes that can occur on that.
Yeah. Is this the one that we have a radiologist do a report on our x-rays,
we send them our x-rays.
Was that the one he was just unbelievable at the post x-rays?
Yeah. We have actually quite a few of those just on the changes that occurred. The one that you're talking about was we had a gentleman who had 75% degeneration in all of his discs,
mm-hmm.
lumbar discs. He re-injured his back. He came back in. We got a 6-month re-exam on his x-rays. And 2 of the lumbar vertebrae of the 5 had 25% and the others were normal.
Wow.
And you're not supposed to be able to do that.
Right.
But we have some specialized techniques. We have some disc decompression. We have some ways of working that and actually getting that to change. So you can do a tremendous amount with a spine. Anterior spondylolisthesis is a very common thing. Matter of fact, a lot of kids are not able to continue on sports because of it, but that is something that's very correctable
mm-hmm.
if you have the right technique.
Right.
to do the adjustment.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about post-scoliosis surgery with a rod placement. Can those people receive chiropractic care?
Yes, and that's, again, amazing to the orthopedic surgeons, the MDs, mm-hmm. you know, that you can actually do that. And we have patients who come in who had had to have a rod put in to maintain their spine because the scoliosis was threatening, you know, their health and well-being. And they had said, well, you know, that they would never be able to do chiropractic. They were coming in mainly for acupuncture. I said, oh, no, we can do reflex adjusting and get a tremendous amount of relief. Mm-hmm. So we did that on them, showed them how that would work, and worked with their spine chiropractically and tremendous amount of relief, mm-hmm. which was quite surprising.
Right.
You know, to so again, you match up the technique with the case, and chiropractic can be done on any situation.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about hip and knee replacements. You know, after you get a hip or a knee replacement, can sure. chiropractic care help?
Sure. We have quite a few times where I've had patients come in with hip and knee replacements, and they were having a great deal of difficulty with them. Mm-hmm. You can adjust those just as well as you can a normal hip or knee, which we adjust knees all the time, and hips to keep them from having surgery. And then when they do, if you know the, you know, if it's gone too far and you have to have those surgeries, if it's not quite sitting right, instead of going back in and doing the surgery, we had a patient who was scheduled to go back in for surgery on the hip because of the pain, possibly trying to reshape that. And we went ahead and did a series of adjustments on that and were able to completely clear out all pain and discomfort and saved her from having to have another hip surgery.
Right.
And we've done the same thing with knees. That's, you know, a patient says, now, you know, I've got a knee replacement. And I said, well, you can, you know, knees replacements can get out of place just as well as any others and cause discomfort, problems in that area. Mm-hmm. And we can adjust those just as well as anything else.
Yeah. What about feet? Can feet be adjusted? There's a lot of bones in the feet, aren't there?
Yeah, there's 46 articulations in the feet. Podiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
Podiatrist used to be called chiropodist. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like a chiro...
Podiatrist sounds better.
Podist. Yeah. A chiropodist type of thing.
Uh-huh.
So they were the chiropractors of the feet. Up until 1959, if you went to a podiatrist, the number one treatment that they would have is adjusting the articulations of the feet to bring relief. After 1959, they were also being persecuted by the AMA, and they said, enough, let's just conform to what they want, and they'll accept us at that point. So they dropped all the foot manipulations and went to surgery, injections, those types of things. More medically minded.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
But I've been trained on all the chiropodist old adjustments and use a tremendous amount of foot adjusting because the feet do affect the, one, if your feet aren't feeling very good, you're not doing well.
Yeah.
So we make that correction, and then it also makes a big difference in the back and how everything else holds too, because the feet are the foundation.
Right. Is there any age restrictions with chiropractic care?
There are not. Newborns. It's great to get them adjusted for people who know how to do newborn adjustments.
Right.
Not like you're going to twist or pop a vertebrae there.
Right.
You have to do reflex adjusting, but babies fall asleep.
Right, they do.
They love it,
mm-hmm.
you know, when
mm-hmm.
you do an adjustment on them.
Right.
And all the way up until, you know, I've had patients who are 98.
Mm-hmm.
Also get a tremendous amount of relief. I had a gentleman who came in who was just, you know, he was ready just to toss it in. And his family just said how much, you know, he started dancing again after he started chiropractic. And just, you know, they could just see the life come back in him.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, thank you. Dr. Prather, we're out of time for this week. Holistic Integration is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048.
Join us again next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.